Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They come from the edge. Barnes finds a seam. 30, 35, 40. Barnes down the right hand sideline. Down to the 40. Down to the 30. They don't have an angle. Barnes will score. Hit the horn. Touchdown TCU. 75-yard touchdown run to open up the second half. And the Horned Frogs blow it open now 26-7 in this third quarter.
Thank you to Learfield for that call. Final score 48-14. Not the debut that I had envisioned for Bill Belichick in the North Carolina Tar Heels. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's September, it's football season, and this is one Bill Belichick would probably want to forget.
And by the way, the score was not indicative of how close this was. It was 41-7, and TCU just quit.
Yeah.
They stopped trying. The whole thing was incredibly embarrassing for North Carolina and somewhat gratifying for the rest of us because I don't know. It's just like the Jordan Hudson of it all. I got to admit, I enjoyed watching him get whooped thoroughly. I'm just going to admit it.
There were a lot of people hate watching Belichick yesterday. And, you know, it's funny because Michael Jordan shows up and Lawrence Taylor. And you want to know why I thought that this was going to be a much better debut for Bill Belichick than it ended up being. And congrats to TCU. I mean, the winner. TCU was not going to go down last year or 2 years ago with Deion's debut and then this time with Bill Belichick's debut. So good for TCU, and we can talk about them later. But the one thing I really thought Belichick was going to have an angle here is because of what Matt Patricia did with the Ohio State defense against Texas. And I was like, ipso facto, then Belichick's like the original. He's the OG. He's going to be able to transition to the college game, and it's going to be easy. And then he got out there, and he just does not have the X's and O's or the Jimmys and the Joes. They got nothing at North Carolina. So I feel a little silly today because I thought after that first drive, I was like, man, Belichick has this whole thing figured out. They march down the field, touchdown. Like, man, this is just going to be easy pickings, and the rest of the NFL is going to have to answer for why Bill Belichick is not in the pros right now, and then it flipped very fast.
Well, what's the difference between what Matt Patricia is doing and what Bill Belichick's trying to do? Matt Patricia's at Ohio State, the Ohio State. He has Caleb Downs. North Carolina has a brand new team, and we don't even really know how good this team is. And Bill Belichick's never coached before at this level. I mean, Patricia did too, but he's got a lot of help around the staff. So we obviously, like other situations that we'll get into in a minute, we put way too many expectations on this program. Fair to say?
Okay, but six Super Bowls, I'm not going to feel bad about this. So we'll talk about Arch Manning and the expectations of Arch to not play well against Ohio State. But I do not feel bad about putting expectations on Bill Belichick.
Oh, come on. You have to feel a little silly now.
Well,
because it's a different sport.
They lost by 34.
It's a different sport. So I'm not even going to kill Belichick. It's his first college game. It's a brand new roster. I mean, obviously it's North Carolina football. It is a program that has been cursed for many years. he didn't come in and ruin Alabama or ruin Ohio State.
No, he's Kalen ruining Moore's on his way to ruining Alabama.
No, those jobs are taken. He's ruining a program that never really was anything. So I don't know. I just think looking back, I wish I'd come out earlier and said, oh, this is going to be a disaster. Which, by the way, I've already heard many people come out and say, oh, yeah, I knew it was going to be a disaster. But none of them actually said that on Friday. They all saying it now.
No, you called it when Belichick first got the job. You were like, it's still North Carolina.
Yeah.
It's still a basketball school and all of that. Can I tell you something about Belichick, though? Because you know how like life comes at you fast and we move very fast in this day and age. And he's got six Super Bowl rings. But if you go to Boston right now, or if you're in New England, they are basically writing him out of the will. I mean, it is a Tom Brady statue out front. The Crafts despise Belichick. Mm. Maybe put the kibosh on him getting the Falcons job. You know, there is serious animosity up until a couple, not even 2 weeks ago, Belichick's giving, you know, throwing shade at the Crafts in a story in the Boston Globe. The Crafts did a whole documentary basically to say that Bill was a curmudgeon that we had overcome, calling him every name in the book. Now you got the not just like the football last night was almost the cherry on top, all of the Jordan Hudson, he's dating this woman who's 24, the same age as the backup quarterback who came in last night to try to save their bacon in Max Johnson. So the jokes write themselves. And if he can't win football games, Pearl, I'm not saying I'm worried about Belichick's legacy, but I kind of am, because New England wants nothing to do with him. And that's where his, you know, the mastery was really on display.
Oh, I hear you. I don't think that if he fails in college, that will totally decimate his pro legacy. I mean, listen, there have been a lot of coaches who've tried it in college and failed, and vice versa, a lot of college coaches who've tried it in the pros and failed. I think that it's known as a different sport. Also, this is like a late career, whatever. Like, this is Michael Jordan and the Wizards to me. Like, I'm not going to count, you know, this Emmitt Smith as a Cardinal, Joe Namath as a Ram. Joe Montana was actually good as a Chief, so yeah, that's not a good analogy. But he's, you know, this happens to a lot of greats, and it does happen to coaches as well. A lot of the greatest college football coaches have not been good in their final few years.
Okay. I see this differently than that. Yeah. I think that the way that Belichick ended in New England and the freeze out, right? The fact that a guy who won 6 Super Bowls could not get a job, he circled back on the New York Jets and they said, no chance. So, and, you know, not trying to give the Jets astray here, but like that's how bad it got, that even the Jets, who can't find a head coach to save their lives, said no thank you to Bill Belichick. The whole league said no thank you. So I don't think this is a Michael Jordan, the Wizards, like, you know, just I can't stay retired. You know, the itch to play is burning inside me. I think this job in North Carolina was everyone bleep off. I'm going to remind everybody what a great coach I am, and I'm going to either get back into the NFL off of this, or I'm going to show that, hey, I can be just as successful without Tom Brady as he was without me. I think there was more to it than that. I don't think this is like some sunset cruise here that he's taking into his retirement.
But I think you're underestimating how old he is. He's 73. Like, most coaches are in the decline by then. Remember when Tony La Russa took over the White Sox again at 70, was he 75, 76? And everyone's like, wow, that's really interesting. He's going to give it a go. Like, that's really what this is. This is not, you know, we shouldn't be viewing this as, that's why the NFL looked at his age. That was a pure age play. They were like, well, if he's good, how long is he going to be here? The dude's 73.
Well, this Pete Carroll got a job. He's coach of the Raiders.
And the odds are, even though you think they're going to be really good, and I think they'll be improved, the odds are that's not going to amount to anything, right? I mean, what are the odds? And I don't even think the Raiders are in it. They just want to sort of correct their ship and get to medium. Right. Like, I don't think he's going to win a Super Bowl. It's unlikely. Remember when Dick Vermeil took over the Rams? That's one. Dick Vermeil took over the Rams.
Yeah.
He was older. And I looked at his age the other day when he took over the Rams, and I was shocked. It was much younger than I thought. Oh, he was like 61 or something. Mm. So, you know, I just think that you cannot underestimate his age and how this plays. Like, he's going to reinvent himself and learn a new sport. And on the fly, immediately for week one against a team with an experienced quarterback, I think we should have seen this coming.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. How shocked were you that Bill Belichick got boat raced in the opener? Every North Carolina luminary. I mean, you got Michael Jordan off the yacht for that.
That was the embarrassing part. This the hype.
That's sports, though. You know, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, it obviously the parallels when Colorado debuted against TCU and all the star power was coming, they showed up the first couple weeks. Then it fell apart a little bit, but still, they delivered. And that's another reason you would have thought that Belichick was going to win, because Deion won in the same spot. But it wasn't meant to be. I can't believe it. So, Maggie, tell the people about the tweet.
Oh.
You mentioned it earlier, but.
Yeah. Well, you know.
We suck.
I'm going to have to come clean on a few things on this Tuesday morning. This is just the latest one. You guys know I was obviously very high on Arch Manning. I was already talking about how he was going to be manipulating the top of the draft, and he was definitely coming out after this year and all
that. Yes, I think you were high, yes.
I've got a few mea culpas, a couple.
Oh, that one is still happening, at least.
Maybe. I think it could still be alive. But Belichick, after Gio Lopez, who ended up getting hurt in this game, but after they stormed down the field and scored in their opening drive, I said there's going to be a lot of NFL teams who have some explaining to do, you know, why they didn't hire Bill Belichick. Then,
and by the way,
then things changed, and the Twitter handle Freezing Cold Takes got me. You're welcome. Never could have a big laugh. I was kind of hoping they would see that one.
You were excited, huh? about that first drive. I was like, oh my God, North Carolina looks really physical.
I don't think I've ever seen a first drive be less indicative of how a game is going to go than that first drive.
Maybe ever.
Ever. Yeah. Seriously.
If you had just turned off the game, you'd be like, Belichick's winning the ACC. And nope.
Listen. The other thing, too, is what can it, could he really X and O his way to dominance? Like, how do we know how good the personnel is?
Well, he had 70 transfers. I also didn't realize there were that many. Yeah, a lot.
It's very Deion-ish. That's a lot of transfers. Deion brought in, 80-something, and they were okay. Yeah, I don't know. Right, exactly. Like, this isn't even all on Belichick. This is sort of, by definition, you bring in a whole new team. And by the way, they didn't bring in Cam Ward. They brought in Gio Lopez.
Yeah, and he didn't even last the whole game. So
yeah, it wasn't like they got the number one transfer quarterback either.
No, but he was their choice, and you know he looked great on that opening drive. You know, he's lefty, kind of looked like Tua they were talking about on the broadcast, and then they kind of lived up to that. The good Tua, the bad Tua. And then Max Johnson took over, who had this really crazy injury that he's come all the way back from. Brad's son.
Yeah, that was fun. He looked great. I'm like, oh, why did that guy start? And then, you know, it was kind of garbage time, so it didn't really count.
Is this just going to be an all-around embarrassing year for Bill Belichick? I mean, yes. You started with a girlfriend. You got people doing deep dives on all of the embarrassing details. They may have met. She was 19 when they met, and she was coming to games in the Patriots.
She looked so awkward in the box with Randy Moss. Ugh. I honestly, it was unpleasant to watch. She does not know how to be like Taylor Swift and Blake Lively in the Chiefs box. They get into it. Like, they know how to play fan. She looked uncomfortable.
Well, I think she's not technically an employee of the university, but she's like, Belichick's also on, she's also on the staff. She's not your regular wag.
Yeah.
Wives and girlfriends.
I said to Andrew Bogus in the newsroom today, I'm like, it feels like the universe is correcting itself on that issue. Like,
whoop.
I'm sorry. It's unpleasant to have a 73-year-old dating a 24-year-old, and I think the universe took it out on the football field. Do not cut that clip, because I don't really want that out there, because people could do whatever they want to do. But I have to admit, like, I did not mind watching Jordan Hudson look sad.
Well, somebody posted yesterday, I forgot who it was, the irony of this whole thing. I think it was Brett McMurphy, that Max Johnson, who came in as the backup quarterback, is the same age as Jordan Hudson.
They should date, not him and Bill Belichick.
Let that sink in.
Oh.
Yeah, that made Manny uncomfortable. It made us all uncomfortable, but it's the truth. And now Belichick has got a lot of cleaning up to do, because I did think this was going to be a situation where he went to a college, made everybody look silly who had passed on him in the NFL, and it was not the case. 888-710-4ISN. Yeah. Okay, it's Tuesday. We're coming off a huge college football weekend, so want to really turn this over to you. We will get to Arch Manning. We are going to get to Alabama. We are going to get to EJ's Miami Hurricanes. And on the flip side, Notre Dame. We have LSU and Clemson. We have so many things to react to. But today is about you. What did you see over the weekend that you want to talk to us about? And we will give you the floor. 888-710-4ISN. And oh, yeah. The Cowboys. And Micah Parsons landing in Green Bay, Pearl. And it is off to a bit of a rocky start, considering
Michael Parsons.
That back injury might actually be real.
Yeah, we thought that was a negotiating ploy. What is happening here?
I don't know. It's a lot going on. We will get to all of it, we promise, and we want to do it with you. Again, 888-710-4ISN. Get it going with Bill Belichick's underwhelming debut, Arch Manning's underwhelming debut, Alabama's underwhelming debut, Clemson's underwhelming debut. So many things to tackle today.
Oh, Maggie, so excited. Football season is back on Prize Picks. Every day we make choices, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Millions of users and billions of dollars awarded winnings. Prize Picks is the best place to put your takes to the test. We do it often, Mag. Plus, the app is really simple to use. You just pick two or more players across any sport, and there's so many sports going on right now. Pick more or less on the projections, and if you're right, you could win big.
We're so excited that Prize Picks is back with us for this football season. It is our absolute favorite way to get a little action, a little skin of the game when it comes to football, college football. It's not just that. Baseball, every single sport that's going on, WNBA, all the transactions on the app, they're fast, they're safe, they're secure. And best of all, you can get this all over the country, Texas, California. Jump on into Prize Picks. It's right there for you. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code M&P. Get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code M&P on Prize Picks to get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. So win or lose, you get the $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing, guaranteed. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
M&P.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lopez throws left. It is picked off at the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Bud Clark. Career interception number 12 for Clark. Comes up with a pick there. Read it perfectly. Baited him into it. And a score here for Bud. And the Horned Frogs go up 16-7.
That's courtesy of Learfield Sports. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show, breaking down a busy, exciting college football weekend. I have a theory that could help Bill Belichick in North Carolina.
And right, well, they lost 48-14 right yesterday, so they could use some help.
And it applies to any school here for the first week. It applies to Alabama. If TCU has one of those TCU seasons that goes undefeated, this is going to look a lot better.
Mm.
If Florida State is awesome, that'll look a lot better for Alabama. Sure. So you have to wear two hats now. If you're a North Carolina fan, you got to root for TCU. It makes it less embarrassing. I mean, you do have Stephen Belichick, so you're going to be embarrassing anyway.
Yeah. But it turns out maybe he's not qualified for this job, Belichick's kid.
Yeah, but, well, listen, it's on everybody there. But you got to root for your opponent to be awesome.
Yeah, Arch Manning has to hope that the entire Ohio State defense is like first-round picks.
Well, that's 100%. He doesn't even have to hope. That's a fact. I mean, they look like a superhero movie, that defense. Where did those guys come from?
Yeah, well, Belichick's protege, Matt Patricia, with a much better debut than the master of Bill Belichick.
They actually they might have 8 first-round picks on that defense. That defense was crazy. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, let's go to the phones. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Embarrassing debut for Bill Belichick last night. Ramon's in Indianapolis. Ramon, what'd you think of Bill?
Good morning, my favorite people. And Perloff, I hear you trying to throw Bill Belichick a lifeline. There's no lifeline there. He has 4 years after Brady to show anything. He didn't do anything, not even a little bit. He didn't do anything before Tom Brady. I knew it was going to happen because the NIL, the old guys already ran off and Saban and all the stuff like that. Even with a few transfer portals things going on, sometimes you're just out of touch. Now I'm 60 years old and I'm a youth sports coach, soccer, basketball. Just went to a baseball game yesterday and heard some young people talking about how boring it was. So Cincinnati, Toronto, it was a great game, matter of fact.
Yeah.
And just heard them talking about how boring it is. He's out of touch with he's out of touch. He's just truly out of touch. And it gets to that point. I don't know if he's how Pete Carroll continues to do it. I think Pete Carroll just has more of a liveliness. He's got that California mindset. So he probably stays more in tune with what's going on. That's how I survive, try to stay in tune with these young people. But Belichick seems to have been out of touch for a long
time.
Yeah,
but Ramon, I mean, he's obviously thriving with one member of the demographic.
Yeah, and
he's got a 24-year-old girlfriend, so clearly he's in touch with some part of the young people today.
Maggie.
Literally touching them.
And Maggie, as a man who's been married 33 years, and these old cats like Shannon Sharp, stuff like that, I would advise them not talking about the legalities of it, people.
No. It's
about
consenting adults is just kind of cringy.
Yeah, the mentality. And Arch Manning will get better. LSU, I love that. Alabama, love to see them lose. We need new teams. And Florida State, great to see them come back up. So, and then Micah, he needs to let him sit the first 3 games, come back against the Dallas game, he'll be fine. That's a long-term draft, a long-term trade, not a short-term trade. So let's don't beat up on Green Bay yet.
Thanks. Ramon, thank you for that. Lot to chew on there.
Yeah, Ramon just hit our entire rundown in 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think we can all go home now. No, you know what I'm picking up from a lot of people, not just us on the show, but now even just Ramon, and we get to more callers. there was more of a liking to see some people lose. There was more joy in some of the people who fell flat over the weekend. Schadenfreude, right? Maybe something like that. Watching Alabama, maybe very cathartic for Florida State. Man, they really needed that. I feel like the program is almost teetering on, you know, just, hey, you know, you had to remember back in the day, FSU really was a great program. They had a huge win. They look like they could be players in the ACC, but it's almost like people enjoyed watching teams lose more than they liked watching their own teams win.
Well, I would say there's two. I think those two you mentioned are way above everyone. Everyone's been waiting for Alabama to come back down, and now they're back in the, what is it, Mike Shula era? I'm jumping ahead there, but it does seem like Kalen DeBoer could bring the program way down. And Bill Belichick, we've explained earlier, like, it is distasteful to have a 73-year-old man dating a 24-year-old woman, and now we get to see that play out in football hate.
Well, it's also just the latest for Belichick. He wasn't exactly Mr. warm and fuzzy, likable guy.
Exactly.
He was always smartest guy in the room. I got the answers. No one knows how to do this but me. And then it looks like the, you know, draft picks at the end of New England were just horrifically bad, and now the team building with 70 transfers. So let's, you know, do guys even know each other's names on this team? Like, maybe you give it a second to try to settle
it. I mean, that would be fair, but that is not what we're doing today.
No. Jay is in Nashville. He's our pal. What's up, Jay?
What's up, man? First of all, it's kind of hard to watch Belichick. I mean, really, every time they put him on TV, he looked like a Manchurian candidate. And that 24-year-old old man predator that he's dating, man, it's like she's his handler or something. And it's like, it's just really hard to watch. I mean, I think it's, you know, I don't know. I don't want to talk bad about him. You know, it's just hard to watch, and I kind of feel bad for him. Even though I'm a lifelong Patriots hater, but, you know, I got to respect the man. But as far as QB play this weekend, yeah, it was a disappointment. Arch, I don't think it was that Arch played real bad. Matt Patricia was throwing some pro-style, like, magic at him as far as defensive-wise. Really, in that game, both of them quarterbacks sucked.
Yeah,
there's the saying, and both of them suck. Really, neither one of them look like a top five team. I don't care. The only thing that's making Ohio State look good is that defense. But my top three quarterbacks of the weekend, first of all, like who you two think had the best performance as a quarterback or most electrifying weekend as a quarterback this weekend?
I tell you, who jumped out to me.
Yeah,
or Garrett Nussmeier. Just to the second half of the Clemson game. Because I'm not counting if you beat Elon, I don't care.
And
you're asking me. Ahead. I thought it was Haynes King. And, you know, it's funny because Todd, he was playing for Georgia Tech. Yeah, they beat Colorado on Friday night. He is really fun to watch. And I thought Castellanos, obviously, from Florida State, the stat line is so weird. It's not going to blow you away. But the guy's just a winner. I mean, he's got this early season magic. I thought that he looked really good. And actually, some kid from Cal looks like might actually be one of the best quarterbacks in college football. He's a true freshman.
That's exactly what I was getting ready to mention. That true freshman from Cal, I watched. As a matter of fact, I went and, like, watched the replay. I saw the highlights, and I went back and watched a little bit of the replay, man. Like, yeah, that kid, I mean, he's already – and you think about it, they're not going to be able to draft until 2028. But, like, my number two was Castellano from Florida State.
Yeah.
And really, really, I enjoy both of the quarterbacks in that Miami-Notre Dame game. I really like that. The only receiver that jumped out was the guy from the Miami game, number 7, that had that almost
CJ Daniels. The Odell Beckham catch.
Yeah, he almost had that Odell Beckham catch. I mean, Odell Beckham looking. But as far as Alabama, I'll tell you right now, I used to be Jay in Alabama. I'll tell you right now, you think Alabama fans are obnoxious when they're winning? No, it's when they're losing. And I'm sure you saw the kid that gave the camera to Bird.
Yep.
You're going to see a lot more of that. You're going to see a whole lot more of that.
Jay, thank you. Well, we had Bama fans crashing out. But I just want to circle back for a second. If you haven't, and I don't know if everyone's dialed into Cal football, but Jaron Kiawe Sagapalatele, I think, Bogish. I think I'm right on that. He's a true freshman. You're the newsman around here.
Yeah, Bogus definitely has the answer to that. Yeah.
Hard pass. Get me Schwartz.
From Hawaii, true freshman, and just made it look very, very easy. So just a guy to keep your eye on in the ACC.
Can I say one thing about all the quarterbacks?
Yeah.
You guys understand this was advanced preseason. Like, this week one, we are overreacting. You could see, I mean, you had three top 10 matchups, right? Four of the teams, the first four, didn't even hit 20 points. Like this, yeah. We have no idea who these teams are going to be in a month.
Let's pause on Arch for a second, though. Yeah. Let's talk about
Arch, all these guys, every single person you mentioned, like, you have to understand there's going to be very erratic things because nobody was ready to play. The defense has owned the day.
That is true. Every under hit. You're right. And, you know, the final score is Ohio State wins 14-7.
Like, yeah, what is that?
It was just it wasn't an offensive game, although we knew Ohio State because Julian Sayin had zero experience that they were going to be very, very conservative.
But then Jeremiah Smith, who all of a sudden can't catch, like, you would have thought that they could score more than 14 points.
I know. And Ryan Williams, the wide receiver for Alabama, was also at some butterfingers. Okay, but let's just pause on Arch for a second. Because obviously the hype was out of control and is going to continue to be out of control for Arch.
Yeah.
And he had a really tough assignment. To go into the horseshoe, to try to beat the reigning national champions, it was going to take a lot. It also looked bad. I think we can call it what it was. It also looked bad for a guy who has been, you know, has had two collegiate starts, someone who has been sitting. We knew he was going to be the starter from the moment the last season ended, and he's been in the program. I know there's some new faces on offense, but that offensive line, guys, he had time.
That was a brand new offensive line.
It is, and the quarterback sneaks were not good, but he had time when he was throwing the ball. He was off balance. He was throwing sidearm. It looked like the fundamentals were off.
I don't know.
He was rattled.
I'm not sure about the O-line got horrible grades. First of all, they had like a million false starts, but I'm not so sure. It was a couple things. Jay nailed it. Like Matt Patricia, anyone see Dan Orlovsky on ESPN's breakdown? Matt Patricia was doing things. Arch had no idea what he was looking at.
Yep.
So for better or worse, the problem was not, I know his footwork was all over the place. The problem was he did not know where to go with the ball. So he dropped back and he's like, I've never seen this before. I don't know what's happening here. I don't know where to throw it. All my receivers are glued to their defensive backs. So he started pressing. He threw a pick, which was on his wide receiver, in my opinion. He threw a deep ball.
Underthrew the ball.
No, I mean, the wide receiver did nothing on that play. He did not. And then what happened? Arch started to fix himself because he's like, well, there's only one guy here who's even trying a wide receiver. I'm going to throw the ball to him. 19 to Parker Livingstone. So I think like they were learning in real time what's working, what's not working. But Patricia, dominant performance.
It was a masterclass, no doubt, but Arch, 17 for 30, 170 yards. He had a touchdown interception, 10 rushes, 38 yards. Doesn't really tell the story because it was late in the game when they were in desperation. He had three passes for 65 yards to make that stat line look better. Halftime, 5 of 10 for 26 yards. He was 0 for 5 on passes of 5 or more yards into the third quarter. And, you know, there were guys I thought who were under lots of pressure this weekend. Ty Simpson was under a lot of pressure this weekend as far as, like, not the narrative pressure, the physical pressure on the field, like defensive ends getting after him. To me, Arch can move around. He had time, guys.
Throw to who?
But he just looked really, things were closed off, but it was not like guys were closing in on him and he was just throwing the ball up. That's not what the game looked like.
Well, I mean, the last play.
The final play. They crushed
him. Listen, the assignment's just going to get easier and easier. Who are those? Why all of a sudden, we know about Caleb Downs, the safety for Ohio State. Why are there five of them out there for Ohio State? Who are those guys? I know they have a brand new defense. They have eight new starters, and they were flying around. I'm very curious. That's going to be a case where if Ohio State goes undefeated, which may or may not happen. Julian Sayin didn't look great. Then Texas looks better. And the other thing is, too, Texas probably should have won the game. I mean,
their defense is awesome. I mean,
they were down in 4th and 1. The problem is the red zone. Like, they got in the red zone and failed on 2. If they had converted their 4th downs, they win the game. But the O-line, you saw it 4th and 1 at the goal line. The O-line got no push. Like, that's a concern. Arch is a concern. The receivers are a concern. But they still might be hanging around and not, you know, they might be right back in the mix. Watch, they're gonna win their next 3 games, and then we'll see. I think they have it. Florida is their next big match. We'll see. I just would not count out Texas.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. How concerned are you for Arch Manning? Me? Very. Very concerned, because there's also no place for him to hide. It's not like, you know, this all of a sudden now the, you know, attention is going to go away. If anything, this shaky performance just brings even more eyeballs and potential criticism. Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got even more of what was going on this weekend In a word, lots.
Guys, good morning. All your headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Don't miss any of the action this football season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download Prize Picks and use code PRIMETIME and get a $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
And let's not forget Shallow.
Bill Belichick didn't release a depth chart for last night's North Carolina debut. We thought he was just being his secretive self, but maybe they just don't have any players.
They come from the edge. Barnes finds a seam. 30, 35, 40. Barnes down the right hand sideline. Down to the 40. Down to the 30. They don't have an angle. Barnes will score. Hit the horn. Touchdown TCU, 75-yard touchdown run to open up the second half. And the Horned Frogs blow it open now 26-7 in this third quarter.
That was the first of three TCU touchdowns in the first 8:04 of the third quarter. It ended 41-7 Horned Frogs after that burst. They won 48-14 in Chapel Bill.
Obviously, we have a lot of work to do. You know, we need to do a better job all the way around, coaching, playing, all three phases of the game. Just wasn't up to what it needs to be, and I know we're a lot better than that.
What do you even do first? What do you tackle first?
I used to have a theory on Bill Belichick that he would always lose the fourth game of the season. If they start out if they had a great Patriots team, he's like, we're too good. I got to find something to coach off of. Mm. So he would kind of throw the fourth game. He has a lot to coach off of this one. He's like, Bill Belichick, he's always talking about, I love coaching off losses. I can really show the guys, man, he's going to be busy this week. He's in his.
Yeah. And he may need to change quarterbacks as well, because Gio Lopez left this one in the third quarter with a back injury from a sack. He fumbled on that hit. TC returned it for a touchdown. Horned Frogs QB Josh Hoover, meanwhile, threw for 284 and two scores in the win. Micah Parsons went through his first practice as a Packer yesterday, and we got confirmation that he is dealing with an actual back issue that was not part of his hold-in in Dallas. Parsons might get an epidural to play their opener this weekend.
There we go again with the epidurals.
Yeah, I mean, they work, but...
Are you talking about childbirth?
Yeah, it's great. You don't feel a thing.
Can't be worse than playing basketball with a sprained ankle.
Yeah. Maggie had 11 tackles after an epidural.
I was flying all over the place.
NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
I saw the word epidural and I wanted to panic because I remember how serious that was with my wife. Yeah. Like, doesn't that scare you a little bit that Micah Parsons might get an epidural? He just signed the biggest contract the defensive end's ever gotten.
Yeah, it scared me when Matthew Stafford got one last week, but it was like, he's ready to go also.
He's 38. Like, yeah, I get that. True. Micah Parsons just signed the biggest deal a defensive end has ever signed.
Yeah, you hand over $47 million a year. You're hoping the guy's got the L4 and L5 vertebrae.
We always talk about it specifically. You and I are always like, if that L4 isn't sturdy.
The L3, you're fine.
L3, no biggie. Yeah. L4, oof.
You might as well just take you behind the woodshed.
Does anybody else in the crowd feel a little tightness in their back when you talk L4, L5?
Juan Soto clubbed a go-ahead grand slam yesterday afternoon in Detroit. His first homer this season with more than one man on base.
That's incredible.
The lead did not last because the Mets have about 1.5 good pitchers and neither of them was throwing yesterday. So Soto did more hitting in the seventh.
Somerset, left on left, pitch. Soto chops one down the right field line. It's a fair ball heading toward the right field corner. Big trouble. Torrens is in. They're going to wave around Lindor. The throw comes firing out of the corner. The throw on the way to third. Not in time. Two-run triple for Juan Soto to get the Mets back in front 8-6.
That's Keith Radd on Mets Radio. 6 RBI for Soto in this 10-8 nail-biter over the Tigers, but the Mets stay 6 games behind the Phillies in the East, 4 games up on the Reds for the last wildcard spot because both Philly and Cincy had last at-bat wins yesterday. WNBA last night, the LA Sparks rallying for a 91-85 win in Seattle. They were down 5 with 2:47 to go, and now they're just a game and a half behind Seattle and Indiana for the last two playoff spots. And top-seeded Yannick Sinner with a 6-1, 6-1, 6-1 demolition of Alexander Bublik to reach the U.S. Open quarterfinals. Guys, back to you.
Folks, thanks so much. Okay, we've got Bill Belichick out there for you to react to. His debut was a dud. Arch Manning, ditto. But who is to blame for Arch looking not ready to play the part? Is it Arch? Is it Sark? Is it us in the media? We got all that for you and more Cowboys on the way. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Manning.
Play fake. Manning. He'll throw it this time. Oh, it's intercepted. Matthews Jr.
Who else? Gus Johnson on Fox. Kind of a waste of a Gus game. You know, there just wasn't enough offense for Gus to really dial it up. But he'll do it anyway. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Arch Manning. Disappointing. What do you say? I mean, doesn't mean his career is going to be disappointing, Pearl. Doesn't mean his, you know, football career is over. But for the amount of hype that Arch has had and for what little we saw of him, you know, earlier in his career in Texas, we thought, all right, you know, a Steve Sarkisian offense. Yes, it's going to be difficult against Ohio State, but I think we all believed it would look a little better than it did. He was indecisive. He was inaccurate. Fundamentals seem off. And there's a lot to build on if you want to be positive about it.
Let me ask you a question. If they had won the game, would we be saying this?
You know,
because they did seem like Texas got a lot of momentum in the second half. The two fourth down plays destroyed them. And this is systematic. Like Shark stinks in the red zone. There's something he needs explosive plays because for some reason they're not a good fourth and one at the goal line team. They never had, last year killed them too.
Yeah, and it's such a momentum shifter, you know, to come up with a big stop like that, even when then your offense is then backed up. I mean, it was just so big for Ohio State to come up with these massive stops on fourth down. Yeah. And I guess like here's what I think. We're not out here saying Julian Sayin was amazing. So he's the quarterback for Ohio State. So I think that even if Texas had won the game 14-7 instead of losing 14-7 and it looked the way it looked, I still think we'd be critical of Arch. I do.
Yeah.
You know,
but not as
we
critical.
All watched it. Well, this is what I'm, this is my big takeaway. You know, I was one of those people who thought Arch would probably go to the NFL at the end of the year. If things all fell right for him, if they do, you know, not even, they don't need to win the title, but if he had a good game, I watched him in this opener. I'm like, oh, he's still got a long way to go, it felt. And, you know, he can play lesser competition in the next couple weeks, and I'm sure will look a lot better. But, you know, they're the number one team in the country. He's been in the system. He's not a true freshman who just walked onto campus. Thought, all right, well, he actually needs a lot more time. Was my takeaway.
I'm curious. I'm curious if that's going to ultimately be an overreaction because he'll probably start racking up big numbers. And then we'll see. I mean, listen, when you're this prize a recruit and, you know, you had even a little taste of success, the NFL is not going to really care. You know, they're not a result. They don't care about your college results at all. They don't even really care about your stats. Like, if they see it, they'll see it. I mean, the issues are the footwork obviously was a mess, but it still comes out like you're telling me you didn't eye that guy? I'm like, ooh, he's pretty tall, and he kind of throws the ball. It comes out like a pro.
Okay, so that was also one of the surprising parts of this, right, is when you watch guys who have been, you know, who are so developed, right, like Arch Manning, who's got the best coaches, the best possible everything around him since he's 10 years old. I almost expect that even if you can be inaccurate one day or you can have an off day, that at least your fundamentals are going to look good. You know, like you look overcoached. Like you look like you can fall back on things that look right. Not everyone's going to have an awesome day all the time. I understand that. But Arch, just the sidearm, the off balance, like none of the coaching that I'm sure he's had tons of throughout his life seem to be on display.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, Anthony Richardson in Florida was never on balance, and he was throwing. He went number four in the
and
pick.
It was a huge mistake.
And DJ Lagway, I did not watch much Lagway.
Yeah.
Like he's all over the place, and like he's clearly a super NFL prospect. Just like you could see it. And Arch is big, he's mobile, and there was nowhere to throw downfield, but you got the sense if he started winging it downfield, the ball was going to go down there. He's got a strong arm. You're right. The fundamentals were terrible, but I think that had a lot to do with he didn't know what he was looking at. Now, that's a fair criticism.
Like, totally.
He
but
did
he
not
was
know
not
where to go.
Getting pressured up the middle, like where he had 1 second to throw. You're right. Yeah. The secondary, like they were blanketed.
They were also doing a lot of double teams. Now, if Texas had been able to run the ball down Ohio State's throat, that would have changed Ohio State's defense. But their run game was okay. Nothing to write home about. So Ohio State had every luxury. They were in really good down and distance, and they started double-teaming all the receivers.
So here's a question. Are we not maybe putting enough of the blame here on Steve Sarkisian? Because, you know, one thing that you and I talked about before the game, you're like, listen, how bad could it be for Arch? Like, he's got Sark who's calling plays for him. He's going to look good. And there were a few plays. It wasn't all bad. There were a few plays that looked really explosive, and especially late in the game when they were, like, in desperation mode. But does Sark deserve some criticism
definitely
here? Yeah.
Definitely some criticism. But, you know, I just think it's, again, oversimplification. Stu Mandel, our buddy at The Athletic, tweeted, you know, this is what happens when an offense has four new linemen. Like, the things were not working smooth. This was, felt to me, for both teams, even more so Ohio State, like a fourth preseason game. Like, Texas has a lot to work out. It's a new quarterback, a lot of new personnel. Obviously, their best receiver is in Green Bay, killing it in training camp in Matthew Golden. I think they have some exploring to see what they got here. Now, one of the reasons Sark used to be able to scheme people open, if say Alabama, is because he had four first-round prospects at wide receiver. Like, they were fast, and they could run routes. I'm more worried about the wide receiving core. Like, what did you see? Like, Ryan Wingo, did he look like he had a solid base underneath him the whole time? Not to me.
I mean, they didn't look like a bunch of bums out there. I was watching on the other side. I'm watching Jeremiah Smith drop two passes in the first quarter. That was like beyond shocking. I watched Ryan Williams catch, I think, five passes on 11 targets for Alabama. So, you know, I think maybe wide receivers were having a little bit of trouble. Maybe not for EJ's Miami Hurricanes, but, you know.
Well, even Miami, by the way, we'll get to this, like, where'd the tempo go? Why weren't they flying up and down the field? Like, why are they? Everybody was slow on offense this week, and Miami was very effective, but even they slowed the ball down. I think everybody's. It was August, right? These games all happened in August. Maybe September 1 last night, but I think everybody's offense is still in its nascent stages. I think coaches are learning because of the transfer portal. You have a lot of new guys out there, so I'm saying give everyone a break. Let's go back in a month.
Yeah, I don't want to look at Texas wide receivers and be like, wow, these guys really, like, they're a bunch of nobodies because Xavier Worthy and Matthew Golden are in the NFL now.
Oh, like, that one I feel pretty strong about.
I think Arch was just missing them. I do. I don't think he was giving everyone these really catchable balls. Even the fourth down in the end zone, you know, he missed.
Oh, every time the camera angle showed down the field, there was a Ohio State defensive back glued to it. A Texas wide receiver. They got no separation. Except, you know, Arch missed his first pass, and that was schemed wide open. That was all on Arch. But generally, he was throwing to guys who were well covered. There was a lot of, what are the colors for Ohio State? Is that, what's that called?
Scarlet.
Yeah. Scarlet and gray. There was a lot of scarlet and gray mixed in with every receiver. I just did not see open guys.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. What did you see from Arch Manning? Are you encouraged, discouraged, or was this just all about Ohio State's defense? EJ, you look like you want to say something.
I just think that there's going to have to be a real reckoning and a conversation, not necessarily saying that he's not going to be good. We don't know that yet, but five-star quarterbacks coming out of high school have just not been it. And his class behind him, other five-star quarterbacks, Nico Iemanuileva, did he look good against Utah? Did he look good at Tennessee last year? Dante Moore, Jackson Arnold, Malachi Nelson. Those are the guys that are in his class. And we've seen in recent years the Connor Wegmans in the world and these guys that have been these five-star recruits that we expect so much out of. For whatever reason, they don't perform that way in the college game. So everyone was jumping the gun about him being the definite number one pick and this definite generational prospect. Without seeing him play against real teams, there just is no way to know. We didn't know those other guys were going to be bums until they played against real teams.
We saw a couple games. I mean, they were against Mississippi State.
Yeah,
I know. That was enough. But by the way, that's enough to think it's something good was going
to
happen.
You can think, it's something to think that he has natural raw talent, which he does. Yeah. I mean, I agree with Perloff. He has a great arm. He made some great throws on Saturday. I don't want to make it sound like he just was awful the whole time,
He's a big he's a good prospect. I mean, like, you look at, like, Cade Klubnick, for example.
Yeah, it was
like,
may
terrible.
Have lost the Heisman.
But he doesn't have
opener.
The size. He clearly doesn't have the size and the mobility of, like, Arch is an athlete. You could tell. And we knew that. By the way, every quarterback you just named, I don't know how did Malachi Nelson do? The other ones won big.
Yeah, Jackson Arnold, this was
it. Yeah, he looked great.
Right, but he was a running back playing quarterback. Do you watch? I watched the game. Well, he was just running every time. Yeah,
he only passed for 108 yards. Yeah,
but we knew that about Jackson Arnold coming in. I mean, everyone knew his primary threat was running.
Well, Oklahoma, they basically were like, yo, you can't throw the ball. Like, get out of here. And I think, I think it was a great job by Hugh Freeze and that offensive staff being like, if there is, you don't like your first read, just run. Like, yeah. I mean, I was like, am I watching Tim Tebow in the NFL over again? What the hell is this? But it was effective, though.
He's been compared to, coming up, he was Tebow. By the way, Malachi Nelson lost Utah State.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think
Utah State took down UTEP 28-16. It's actually pretty good for Malachi Nelson. Anyway, that's not your point. I totally understand what you're saying. But Arch is not Arch doesn't fit in that list, and you know it. Because he's not just Dante Moore or some normal fighter.
How do you know that? You don't.
He's much bigger, much stronger, much faster. I think the NFL looks at it way differently. They do not care how these guys play in college. They want to see the prospect.
Nico's 6'4", 200 pounds. Arch is 6'4", 215. Like, these guys got arms. These guys were seen as star prospects. And again, this is just his class. This goes back years with these five-star quarterbacks.
But Arch was a much bigger recruit than any of those guys. Nico was second.
Nico was number two. They're both rated 100. On 247 Sports.
And by the way, Joey Aguilar looked pretty good for Tennessee, so Nico may have made a really grave mistake by playing hardball with Tennessee and then finding himself at UCLA running for his life.
Or maybe he just stinks.
I don't think he just stinks. I think that he made a bad, bad mistake because that UCLA defense also is terrible. Okay, lots more, including Alabama next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.